to another segment of WEEM Weekly. I'm Callie Oxier, and I'm joined by
Liam Witt.
I have heard that you are helping Maple Ridge with their spring production.
Yeah, just their production, yeah.
So what play are they having right now?
They're doing Descendants.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How does it, like, from what you've seen, how does it compare to the movies?
There's more songs added onto
really?
It, and they've taken out a little bit more of the romantic parts, but it's still a lot of action, so it's a really cool rendition of it.
So what are you doing helping with the elementary school?
I'm running music and putting their mics on them.
So is there any other high school people that are helping out and just kind of helping them get their production started?
Yeah, there's tons. We have costume people, we have prop people, we have stage managers, we have people running lights, projection, actually working the microphones. There's a ton of high schoolers that are working with this.
So really all the little kids have to do is just act and have fun.
Yeah. There's a couple that help with tech crew stuff too. So that's
fun. Get them started for middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. Start them young. How long have they been working on this?
Ooh, it's been months. They started rehearsals at the very beginning of the year.
Oh my gosh.
And they're doing it now. I know this because my mom's one of the directors. And so I've seen her put a lot of effort into these kids in this show.
Yeah, that's a long time because our high school, they pump out like 3 plays a year.
Two musicals and a play, and that's a month or two of prep.
That's crazy. Have you ever helped with the elementary schools before when it comes to this stuff, or is this like your first time?
I've done it every year of high school. So I've done various different things. Their first one was High School Musical. And then it was, I'm blanking. Little Mermaid. And then last year, what was last year's? I can't remember last year's, but then this year's is Descendants.
Do you do tech through the high school too? Do you run stuff for them?
Yeah, I've done tech for the different high school things, choir shows, band, the theater stuff. Since probably my freshman year, so done a lot of things.
Do you ever act in the plays or musicals?
I do not. That's not my forte. No.
Yeah. No, I completely get it. I know if I were to do it, I definitely stick on the backside of it. Mm-hmm. How many plays in total have you done? Just like elementary school, middle school, high school?
Ooh, so I think done probably close to 12 to 13.
A lot.
Yeah.
Did any of them stick out to you?
I would probably say my favorite one that like we've done is probably SpongeBob.
That was this year, right? Or was it last year?
That was last year.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fun sets and costumes and music and different things, and it was really, really fun to see.
I feel like it's unique. When you think of musicals, you wouldn't think of like a child show mm-hmm. getting turned into a musical just for mm-hmm. like high schools and stuff.
Yeah.
What is there anything that you have struggled with through helping the elementary schools or just helping the high school in general?
There's a couple times where you run into little issues and misunderstandings, and not everyone knows how to work each thing. So we're not all coming together with the same, like how things work. And so there's a little bit of issues there, but most of the time it runs very smooth. Like we rarely have like major problems, so it's usually really fun and enjoyable.
Has it been running smoothly so far this time around?
This show it's done pretty good. The kids know all their lines, all their songs, all the choreography, so we're not having to stop as much for that. It's more like, where does this prop go, or like how are we doing this scene, like. But they're doing really great, so it's running very smoothly.
How did you get roped into helping the elementary school?
My mom, she works at Maple Ridge, and she joined the second year that Maple Ridge started their drama club. She joined their second year and has been doing it ever since. And so I got roped in that way into helping. So like outside of doing high school stuff, I'll help with like different costumes and prop things and set things just that the elementary schools are doing. So
I remember when I was, I want to say it would have been 2020. I went to Maple, mm-hmm. and we were doing Aladdin,
mm-hmm.
and we just started it at the beginning of the year, I think. And then that was when everything got shut down, like right before we had auditions and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was planning on doing tech, and I hate that happened, because after that, I never got into tech, but mm-hmm. I feel like the theater community is such a good mm-hmm. community to be in. And I feel like that would have been so amazing just to have that around.
Yeah.
Do you know when the dates that people can see this play?
So it would be April 2nd and 3rd. I think it's 6:37. That the time is, but definitely the next 2 days. So
that's tomorrow. Yeah. And tomorrow's Thursday. Mm-hmm. So Friday.
Yeah.
So by the time this comes out, the play would have already been on, but
yeah,
it's still amazing just to kind of see the backside to it and see all the stuff that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, is there any peep into what next year might be?
Ooh, see, my mom doesn't tell me those things,
really?
But I know they have it picked out. They have it picked out, so they know what show they're doing. So it's only a matter of time before they announce it.
That's going to be fun. Do you know when they normally announce it? Like, is it at the beginning of the school year?
Yeah, it's the beginning of the school year.
So these kids are going to have to wait.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I was them, I'd definitely be like anticipating it. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What has been, I might have asked you this already, but what has been your favorite part this year?
Just all of theater wise?
Yeah. Or, it can be high school, the elementary school.
I think it's just strengthening my friendships within tech crew. Tech crew is like a tight-knit group of people, and so I've become a lot closer with them, just doing more things this year, and so I'm always seeing them, and yeah, just making stronger connections.
What grade are you in?
I'm a senior.
So this is your last year?
Yeah.
Are you ever going to come back and help?
Most definitely. I love the theater department, and so I will definitely be coming to see the shows and helping my mom whenever she needs it with her show, so.
Do you plan on going into theater arts in college?
I plan on minoring in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really love it. It's a great thing.
Thank you for joining me for this interview. But that is all the time we have. Again, I'm Kelly Alex here, and I was joined by
Liam Witt.
See you in another segment.
Listen to Inside the Playbook, the WEEM sports podcast, anywhere you get your podcasts. Dive deeper into the game-changing plays, recap past sporting events, and get ahead of the game. Watch the vodcast on our YouTube at WEEM Media. I'm ready to go inside the playbook.
Are you? 91.7 WEEM, welcome back to WEEM Weekly. I'm your host, Hudson Kistler, and I am joined by the guest.
Mr. Webster.
All right, so I brought you in here today because I wanted to talk about your AP classes and your IU courses.
All right, what do you want to know?
All right, so I think it's kind of a baseline. What are some of the AP classes and IU courses you teach?
So I teach AP micro and macroeconomics. I teach AP European History, and I teach Poli-Sci 103, which is a dual credit course through IU for basically introduction to politics.
Okay. And then what do these like classes and courses, what do they kind of cover?
So they take the basic sort of required courses for the state, the economics and the government, and they go a little deeper, and they require just more information, deeper understanding. And so what they try to do is teach, because you can get a college credit from them, they want you to create an environment that's more collegiate. And so it's honestly a lot more lecture, because at IU, the professor that I work for, Dr. Bianco, he teaches classes of 250 students at a time. And so lecture is kind of all that you can do with a group that size. You can't really hand out worksheets too much. And so I try to give them the college experience of, here is the lecture with the information. They do have online assignments that they do for reading the textbook. But for the most part, it's doing the lecture. And then every now and again, I do discussion. And you can do that in a lecture hall. But it's a little easier in the classroom. The one major difference between the high school classroom and the college classroom is we have more days. They go 3 days a week. We go five. So I have a little extra time to stop and sort of look around and get their opinions, because especially with the seniors, I like to ask what their views are, because they are old enough to vote now, especially with the government and the economics. They also, especially high schoolers, always have the question, why am I learning this? And so I like to come up with, you know, modern examples and things that might apply to them. So I go out of my way to find examples that would be things that they've heard of, and look into things that might interest them, so that they're a little more interested in the subject.
Okay, yeah. I like that approach of kind of finding something that interests them so that they can still be active in kind of, I guess, like serious conversations.
And it kind of depends on the students. I try my best to spread out who gets to talk, because usually with classes, and I'm sure everyone who went through high school knows that there are some kids who talk and some kids who don't. And so if I were to let them, a group of three or four kids would just talk the entire time. So I try my best to spread out the talking, because especially in a democracy, you don't just want four people sharing their opinions. You want everybody to. And so I don't force people to talk, but I try to encourage it.
Okay. And I think this next question kind of leans into what you've already said, but do you lecture more, or is it like more discussion assignment based?
And so the lecture is getting the information across, but as I said, they do have the online assignments that force them to read the textbook. And I kind of have that for all of my classes, where if you ask them nicely to read the textbook, you'll find that a few of them will, but most of them won't. And so luckily with IU and partnering with one of the textbook companies, we have online assignments that sort of force them to read along, force them to follow along, instead of just, you know, here's a book, I hope you read it. This actually makes them do that in order to finish the assignments.
Okay. How are these, like, kind of, I guess, higher up classes, how are they different from normal classes?
So it's the amount of units that you have and the depth of information, more examples, and for the AP classes especially. So the dual credit is less assignment oriented, because it's not, you don't have a test at the end, whereas in AP, my AP classes, both of them have their test on May 4th. And so it's condensed and a lot more detail. And there are essays that they have to write, and they have to really express their ideas, where the dual credit is more the entry level classes for college, where you're not necessarily going to have to write a paper for a 103 or 101 class. And so that's really the main difference between AP and dual credit, is that the AP has a big test that requires, so for economics, they're not writing an essay, but they're doing a written assignment where they have to draw a graph and then show changes based on the scenarios that they're given. And so you have to prepare them for that. Whereas the regular classes, it's more just kind of worksheets and basic understanding, where you're doing multiple choice tests. And with the AP, they have to express back to you and explain in more detail. So it's not just, you know, repetition, it's actually showing your understanding.
Yeah. So for kids wanting to get into these kind of like AP classes and stuff like that, what is just something to kind of know just going into them?
So they will be a little overwhelming at first, but all of the AP teachers that I know start a little slower and ease you into it. And I guess the number one benefit is they are a weighted grade. Because of the difficulty, you do get an extra letter grade on top of the letter grade that you get. And so that kind of makes up for the difficulty a bit. And as I said, most teachers ease into it. And so they just start to accelerate a little bit after time. And so it might be a little overwhelming at first, but the teachers know that. And also the teachers put in a lot of work to make sure that they understand the materials as well as they can. And so any questions you have, just go to them and ask them, and make sure that if you, so a lot of students up to this point have relied simply on their base intelligence. And, you know, especially for the smarter kids, they might just have gotten by and not had to worry about it as much. But when they get to the AP class, this is the first time they've met any resistance and might have something they don't quite understand, but that's okay. That's getting into college. That's what college is for. And okay. So it's challenging to you, but you can always go to the teacher and ask for help, ask for support. That is why they're there.
Okay. And then I guess compared to like normal classes, is there like any sort of different approach you have to teaching them?
It's more trust. There's more sort of individual work time. There's more not me walking around staring at them, making sure that they're doing their work, because you need to give them that, because when they get to college, you're not going to have somebody standing over their shoulder. You know, everybody who has a college degree understands that it's a lot more independence. And so, especially with, if you're taking 15 credit hours in college, you are spending 15 hours a week in class as opposed to the 40 hours a week that they're spending in high school. And so you have a lot more time on your own. And so I have to sort of give up some of that to them. And so I do check in more than a professor is going to, but they're not in college yet. So I check in a little bit more, but for the most part, I give them materials and they have to show me that they've put in the effort on their own.
Yeah. And how do you help students? Because I can almost bet that a lot of students might struggle, especially with, you know, harder classes. How do you help them if they're falling behind?
So I try my best to offer study guides. College professors generally won't do that, but they're still in high school, especially my AP European History class, because they're sophomores. And so I give study guides. I give them questions that will sort of lead them to the answer that they don't have to come up with all of it on their own. I give them, you know, a trail of breadcrumbs for them to find their way to it. And I offer, if they want to do their study guides and send it to me, I'll sort of correct it and give them, you know, if they've shown me that they can put in some of the effort, then I can give them some of my work to help them out. And I always offer before and after school as a time if they need individual instruction, or, you know, the school email comes through on my phone. And so anytime they email me, I usually give them a quick response to make sure that they know that if they are sort of lost, I will sort of turn them back in the right direction. And that it requires a bit of time, but I also understand that it is more work than they're used to doing. So I'm willing to put in more work as well, because they shouldn't have a teacher who says, okay, it's all on you, I'm going to sit here with my feet up. That if they're going to be doing more work, I should be doing more work too.
Yeah. That's a very good way to look at it. And just, what is something that you think all kids should realize about AP classes? Maybe it's like something that's commonly missed or just misunderstood.
So for a lot of the AP classes, the difficult thing is that the test at the end of the year is based not on how well you do, but how well you do compared to everyone else. And so some of these kids come in from elementary school, middle school, and they're getting, you know, A pluses on everything. And then they see that first B or C on a test and just have an existential crisis. That to get a 5, which is the top AP score you can get in the AP economics courses, you generally only have to get about a 75% on the test. And so to get the highest possible score, you get roughly a C. And so some of them will come into it and see that first grade and think, I can't do this, I'm not smart enough for this, because all their other classes have been measured in, you know, ABC level. But with the AP, some of them, I mean, AP calculus, AP chemistry, especially, there are some classes where you can get a 50% on the test and still get that top score. And so there are different levels depending on the class, and they should look into it beforehand, understanding this is one of the hardest of the AP classes. Even if I don't do very well, I can still do well on the test. Yeah. In comparison to the other people.
Yeah, of course. And so I think this is probably going to wrap up this segment. Thank you for joining me. I loved a lot of your insight on some of these things, because they were definitely some things I was also kind of wondering about.
Yeah, and I know that when kids are signing up for their classes, that it's a class name and a teacher name, and they might not know who the person is. They might not know anything about the course. And so getting information out is important. I try to ask the counselors if the kids have any questions that they can come to me and ask. I don't mind answering questions about that. And so that's one thing they should know, is that it's worth the effort. It's worth the try, because the most important thing about the dual credit and the AP is you can get college credits for these, and that can save you lots of money. So if you pay maybe $100 for a test, you can get out of an $1,800, $2,000 class, depending on. And I've had kids that have finished their first year of college in high school because they've taken these classes, and it is a little more effort, but it can save you a lot of money.
Yeah, of course. All right, well, that's going to wrap this up. Thank you for joining me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yep, and we will see you all later. Bye.
Watch out, the stampede is coming through. Spice up your afternoons with the Arabian Stampede every Tuesday through Friday from 3 to 5 p.m. Whether you're on your way home from work or school, or just want to enjoy the tunes, Stampede is the show for you. 3 to 5 p.m. every Tuesday through Friday. Tune in.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Not bad.
Bye, good one.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to another segment of WEEM Weekly. I'm Callie Ox here, and I'm joined by...
Mr. Stevens.
What do you do within the school?
My main role, of course, is a French teacher, and I also am the sponsor to the French Club.
What made you want to teach French?
Good question. The main thing I usually tell when people ask me this question is my grandmother. Growing up, my grandmother would talk about her time in France with my grandfather, and her house had pictures of where she lived in France and some copies of famous French art throughout her house. And so that's kind of what started my interest. And I started learning on my own when I was in eighth grade. And then I thankfully went to France with my grandmother after I graduated high school, because I was trying to decide between teaching chemistry, English, or French. And my grandmother said, you kind of have to know if you like France if you want to teach French. So thankfully, I was able to go, fell in love with France, chose French, and here I am.
That's amazing. You said that you do the French Club. What is French Club?
French Club is a chance for students to explore some cultural topics that we can't do in the classroom. And I try to alternate between having meetings where we cook something using the facts room here. We've made things like a tarte flambé, which is a French German pizza dish. We've done knockoff versions of pain au chocolat, chocolate croissant, and some other things. And some other things that we do when we don't do that. We've had competitions of French knowledge, language games. We're currently on part two of the musical Les Misérables, the movie version. Sometimes we'll watch movies, explore various cultural things. And while I have several students of my own that are in French that are in it, sometimes they bring friends, and I'm totally okay with that. So if somebody is friends with somebody in French Club, they're free to always come.
How do you get into French? How does a student join the club?
They can ask me if they're one of my students, and then I'll add them to the Google form for French Club. Or sometimes that'll take place at a meeting. Like I said, friends of current members can come. And then if they are interested in coming to more meetings, I'll do the same process and add them to the Google form so they're on the list.
What does a basic meeting look like?
As I mentioned earlier, it depends on the type of meeting. Like if it's a cooking meeting, we'll start out in my room, and then we'll go down to the foods room. We'll make stuff, and typically... I try to, when we're making something connected to a particular region in France or elsewhere, while the food is cooking, we will do something else cultural, like learning some words that are maybe popular in that particular region, or talk about some other cultural elements of that particular place. Like if we did beignets in the past, we'll talk about New Orleans, or we'll watch the movie Princess and the Frog while we make stuff. So there's more than just the cooking there. And then there's a time for socialization amongst the members because we're like a little family.
What has been your favorite activity that the club does?
Something that I haven't done in a while, but one of my favorite things is taking the students to the French Joan of Arc or the St. Joan of Arc Film Festival, not film festivals, food festival in Indianapolis every year where they have French food and the students can try it. But something that I consistently do would be just really giving the students a chance to, like when we make something, a taste of the French speaking world. Is that something I just can't do in class?
Yeah. How long does a typical meeting last?
It depends on if we're cooking or watching something, but typically we'll start meeting at 2:30 and then 3:15, 3:30 is typically, 3:30 is usually the longest that it'll go.
How often do you guys meet?
We typically meet at bare minimum once a month, but if the members want to meet one additional time, we have done two meetings in a month.
How many students do you have in it currently?
Currently, it can range between 15 and 20, depending on what kind of meeting we're having, like the food meetings. Almost all the members show up for those. But if it's a non-food meeting, I'll still get a majority of them.
Are there any leadership roles in the club?
Since I've been at Pendleton, I've not done it, but this year was a little bit different. I have a lot of super motivated students, and we currently do have a president, secretary, and person called hype person and a promotional person for the club. So there are like maybe four or five kids that are in the leadership roles, and then we all get together and decide what we want to do for.
So they just pretty much get to choose what they do for the meetings?
Yes. I'll give them a general idea, and then they can go from there and build it.
How does French club differ from the actual French class?
Okay. The club, we get a chance to explore a little bit, getting the food aspect that I don't always do with the students because I can't take my students down and make things as a class typically. So this is something that we can do there. Also, it tends to be longer than a class period. So if we want to watch an entire movie, we can do that. And while my class is typically, I have a lot of input. My students do as well, but French club is a little bit less me influence and more of the students deciding what they want to explore in the French speaking world.
How will this help students outside of school, or is the club just something that gets your students together for like a fun activity?
It's a little bit of both. But something that it can help people for beyond the high school and beyond Pendleton would be to get exposure to the different cultures, because many times some students don't have any interaction with other cultures outside of the language classes themselves. And in the clubs, it gives them just further experiences in learning about different places, because when people leave here, they will encounter people with different beliefs on different things. So it's exposing them and getting them ready to be around that.
Moving back to just like the French class in general, what do you find most enjoying about teaching?
I would say one of the most enjoyable things of teaching would be when some of my students end up coming with me to France on one of our trips, and I get to see the students using what I've taught them with the actual French people. Because it's one thing to do your speakings to me or to another person in the class. And it's very rewarding on my end and for the student to be successful when they're actually in France.
When's the last time you guys had a France trip?
We had one 2 years ago, and then we have one this summer.
Oh, wow. I know the German, we have one coming up next summer. So that's really cool. What do you think students find the most difficult about learning the French language?
This is something that I know the students in other languages will encounter too. But it comes down to like verb conjugations can be a little bit difficult. In French, in Spanish and German, I know there's grammatical gender and all of that. So that's something that students sometimes find challenging. They don't necessarily think, okay, this is a masculine noun, so I have to use a masculine adjective. and that kind of a thing. And then speaking can sometimes be intimidating. For my students, they tend to do a good job listening and writing and reading because it's a little bit easier to do that. And speaking is the one that is the most intimidating for the students.
Is there anything you do to help them get past their struggles?
Yeah, I try to do as many participation-based speaking tasks, so where they know they're, as long as they meet the requirements, it's okay if they mispronounce words. It's okay if they conjugate something wrong when they're speaking and all of that. We do it enough times that by the time we do one that's graded, they feel comfortable and they'd always do a good job.
Do you have any favorite lessons or units you love to teach?
I have one in French 2 and one in French 3 that tend to be my favorites as well as the favorites of my students. In French 2, when we're learning the difference between the two main past tenses in French, passé composé and parfait, it's a really big challenge for them. But something I do that's fun for them is what I call the crime unit. And students will learn crime-related vocab and how to describe a criminal. And then they get to make a surveillance video of the crimes happening. And they get to have a mock conversation with the police and where they report the crime. And that way they have to use both of the past tenses and they have a fun time doing that. Sometimes my owls that I have in my classroom are victims of the crimes. And then in French 3, it's what we're currently working on and getting ready to do is a fairy tale unit where where they write stories using fairy tale vocab, and they write a children's book for that with illustrations.
Sounds like a really fun time. Is there anything else you would like to add about the French class or the French club that I may not have touched on a question?
I don't think so.
Thank you so much for joining me for this WEEM weekly segment. Again, I'm Kelly Alexier, and I'm joined by
Monsieur Stevens.
I will see you guys in the next episode.